that Abba Father, by the reason of this panel tonight, that answers to questions of my heart to be answered. Let's just take a minute and pray in the name of Jesus. By the reason of this panel tonight, oh Lord, my business takes a new dimension. I know what to do. Wisdom is supplied unto me. In the name of Jesus, I take giant steps. I take giant leaps. Faith is supplied to me. I am encouraged. I'm inspired. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Praise God. Good evening, DCC. Are you seeing the money? Are you seeing the money? Career people, are you seeing the money? Business people, don't you see the money today? Today is your day, you see the money. Okay, so tonight, like we said, our Wednesday services are taking this new turn and twist so that we can see the money. Bible says he leads us to bury treasures, secret caches of valuables, so that we will know that it is the Lord, the God, that has called us by his own name. So that's what he's doing tonight. So that word is certainly going to be made flesh in our lives. So tonight is business boosters. How many business people are in the house? Yes, so tonight is your night. We have brought seasoned people from amongst our midst that will come and tell us how they have got to where they've got tonight. Please have your seat. Please have your seat. Please have your seat. So we're going to get enlightened tonight, and business people are going to be getting boosters, the nuggets that will help them, propel them to their next level in business. So I'm going to call up the business juggernauts in our midst. So as I call them up, they are not, I know some of you see them, you just greet them casually. So from tonight, after they finish speaking to me, when you see them in my own place, when you see elders, you say domo. you greet them, you bend very well, knowing that, you know, these people have really gained mileage. So that aside, I'm going to be calling up stage now. Chinedu Apunonu. He's a graduate of economics from the Lagos State University and is the creative head at Dapscott Nigeria Limited, a professional pattern maker and a skillful designer running Dapscott brand for 9 years, has been able to cut across the shores of Nigeria and does the fashion design business intentionally, with her designs being shipped and worn in different parts of the world. She's a seasoned writer and a speaker, a mother to her 4 beautiful children, and a loyal wife to her husband. Fondly called the Mind Changer, has helped so many people find their path in entrepreneurship. Welcome. We welcome you. Welcome you. Okay, you love is coming. We love you, Dapscott. Okay, thank you for that love. Next up stage is Chibueze Obiwane is a distinguished social entrepreneur and a co-founder and managing director of the Milk Boosters Limited, a leading breastfeeding support company. With a career spanning over a decade, Chibueze has demonstrated expertise in people management, strategic planning, and operational management. He holds a degree in accountancy from Nnamdi Azikiwe University, Awka. A strong advocate for youth empowerment in Africa, Chibueze participated in the 11th African Youth and Governance Convergence as a committee member on health, fueling his passion for driving sustainable development on the continent. In his leisure time, Chibueze enjoys playing video games, spending quality time with his family. He is happily married to Lillian, and they are blessed with a son. Last but not the least, we're going to call up stage Joanne Azike, please encourage her. Give her a huge, huge round of applause. Joanne Azike is the managing director of Outreach Capital Solutions Limited. It's a loan company. They also engage in financial consultancy to many multi-million dollar company. You're very welcome, Joanne Azike. Okay, so is this Lido link up? So once again, bring out your phones, and let us move very quickly to our Slido link. So it's www.slido.do, and the event code is DCC Business, #DCC Business. Now, our question tonight is going to be taking a twist as well. So we're going to be passing the microphones just in case your question is not on the Slido, is not picked by the Slido. You still have that opportunity to hold on to the mic to ask your questions. So today we're going to be doing both online questions and also passing the microphone questions. And I hope that by the reason of tonight's meeting, that your business will not remain the same again. Okay. Thank you very much. So tonight there's a hot question already, you know, buzzing, you know, in church. And I want each of you to take a couple of minutes to answer, you know, this question. And the question is, how did you start your business? And did you have capital? Because there's always the issue of capital, the issue of startup funds. So Chinedu, how did you start Daft Scott? And did you have capital?
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Okay, I started Daft Scott in May 1st. In 2015, I didn't have any capital. But, you know, usually I would say whatever money can give you, people can give you. So in terms of cash, liquid cash, I didn't have, but I had people. So I pooled my resources with people, even though it wasn't a lot. So most of the time I tell people that if you want to start business, you don't need all of the money to start business. Just start with what you have. 31st of December, 2014, crossover service, 12 midnight, PK said, ask God for something. And I was seated at the back, and I just told God that I wanted to start a business. I left my job in 2012. So that was 2 years later. And I prayed for a business. You know, God has a way that he directs and leads us. And God led me, the story is long, but God led me to the right people at the right time that I needed to help me navigate my business with the right skill at that time. And that is what has propelled my business and has helped me up until this time. Did I have funds? No. But I had people, and the people I had helped me. I used to work, and one of the people that helped me, Chinwe Oji, was my boss in the office. I called her that I needed a loan, and she was willing to give me the loan. So if I'd had a bad relationship or I was a bad person at work, I wouldn't have gotten that money from her. It was 300,000 naira, and that was the money that I used to pay for the rent of the little store that I had. I had a friend, Professor Olatinwo. I called him, and I said, oh, Prof, I need a generator. And he said, oh, okay, is that all? I said, and a table and a chair. Funny enough, that's the chair I still use up till date at my office. And he sent me money for the generator, the table, and the chair. I had little change, 13,000 naira left, and that was what I used to tell. A small pathway at the store, that was all I could do. And my husband bought me my first machine. And that was how I started Daft Scott. Today, the story is different. So did I have cash? No, but I had people.
Thank you very, very much, Chinedu.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay. For me, today I'm going to be very practical and real with you guys. So I'm one of those people that made mistake of thinking the big guys in the society, they'll call you Aburo. They got your back. They don't got your back. It's God that has got your back. So I made that mistake of writing proposal after proposal to all the big shots, all the politicians that I used to be a banker for about 2 decades. So I wrote proposal, see where your girl is at now, support me. And they'll say, yes, 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 we'll support you. Voicemail. Even customers that when we're managing the relationship, as in foreigners, white guys, Portuguese, you name them, British, American, when they travel and come back, as account officer, they'll say, see the gold I bought you. If you don't like it, call this number, they'll change to another design. That was the type of, the level of relationship we had then. Okay, see what I'm doing now, voicemail. But let me tell you something. You see this God that we serve? If you want to go into business and you don't have a personal relationship with him, if you don't hear him, if you don't hear him, don't bother to go into business. You have to hear him. God, this God that we serve, he will tell you, send mail. Don't wear this cloth. He's as detailed as that. The times that I did not listen, I chopped cane. don't wear these clothes. That's when they will come here. MD of so-and-so company that you've been looking for is in the country. He's flying out tomorrow. And I'm dressed in a way that I can't see him. You must have a personal relationship with him. So at that time, when all these things failed, it was someone I met also while I was in banking, a young guy with big canvas, always putting headphone around his head. God said, go and meet this guy. I said, this small boy, what would this one do for me? He was like, he's junior to me. But I told him my vision, and he kicked in. He said, I've got a billion. Let's do this. I said, billion. Even all the proposal I wrote, I didn't have the mind to put billion. And we did great things. So that's my story.
Thank you very much, Joanne. Chibweze, over to you.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay, in the spirit of being practical, this is a million-dollar question. There are some people that have not had the opportunity of, you know, even doing any job. It's only business they know. I'm one of those people. I went to school. I came out. I didn't bother searching for a job. And then, like she said, hearing God is important. I remember the first business I ventured into then, it was fish farming. And I was just at home thinking of, what will I do with my time? And I've done some research on some businesses, chicken farming, all of those things. And then I heard this audible voice behind my ear that I should go downstairs and go to two streets away from my house. I took that step and I saw this green tank lying on the gutter. And he told me just to carry the tank. So I went back home. I called some of my brothers. They helped me. And I cleaned it. And I started fish farming then. It starts from hearing God and then acting on what you hear. Then right now, the business I do now is going to be 6 years by the 26th of this month. It's the Milk Booster. And it started the same way too. No capital. But, you know, starting small. You know, giving to people to sample, and they like it, and they're willing to pay for it, getting market opinion back, you know, getting feedback, and know that what you have is a viable product. And then you start as little as you can. So the million-dollar question of raising capital, I think, is not one size fits all, but you have to look at the kind of business you are looking to do, and then seek advice, seek counsel, and you should be able to navigate your way. Some people stay and they're thinking and they're waiting for one huge capital. Most times you don't need a huge capital to start your business. You just need very little to start. And then like Nedu pointed out, you need relationship. You must invest in relationship as a business person. So that, you know, like those are the key components of starting up a business if you are starting from the ground. That would be.
Thank you very much, Chibweze. Okay, so the first question I'll pose to Dav Scott. As a trader, as a business person as well, but he said he wishes there was a trader in the house, so I think he's a trader asking this question. So I'm just going to throw this to you as well. How do you effectively calculate God's 10% as tithe? Effectively calculate your tithe. It was 10%. Doesn't want to make mistake, so he doesn't pay 9% or go and pay 12% or things really specific on his 10%.
Okay.
Yes, please. Please
okay.
Go ahead.
So, a trader is even easier. As a trader, it's easier for you to calculate. As a designer, it's more difficult because every day we are buying stuff, so the money is just chakra 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 everywhere. But what I would say is, you have the opportunity to pay tithe in two places. You pay tithe based on yourself. So put yourself on a salary, and you pay tithe on your salary. So ask yourself, if I was working in 9 to 5, what should be my level? How much should I earn at this level? If your business can afford to pay you that, afford to pay you that, pay yourself that, and calculate your tithe based on that. Then your company should have savings. Is it all the money you are eating? It's not everything that comes in at the end of the month. So in your stock, your book, stock keeping, by the time you take out expenses, salaries, all your overhead, whatever ends, whatever is at your profit balance, you calculate your tithe based on that. Some people don't give tithe as a company, but I believe that if you want your company to grow, it's a blessing. It's better you can't outgive God, so, but it's better you overgive the tithe than undergive the tithe, you understand? So you can pay your tithe both as a salary earner, so you are working for your business, and also your business can also pay the tithe. So by the time you balance your sheet, whatever profit is supposed to go to your business, you can calculate the 10% of that and pay the tithe on that while you also pay tithe on your own salary.
Thank you very much, Nidu. Thank you very much, Dr. Scott. So next to Joanne, how do you separate yourself from your business? How do you manage not to frequently spend from your business because I've been spending much from my business?
Okay. I think that's a general problem in Nigeria where, you know, the MD is also, that's like his personal account, but that's very wrong. You have to be disciplined. What I do personally, you see that fund for my business, is as if it's paper. It's just numbers. You close your eyes, it's not yours. If my people at home tell you how I scrutinize list for markets, you want to go to the market, remove this, remove that. Catfish, next 1 month. I'm sure they'll be wondering, what's wrong with this woman? Spend this money. No, you have to be disciplined. Because I know what my salary is. You can't be looking at what is in the company account and be using that to spend. You have to be disciplined. So you must separate, give yourself your own salary, put it in a personal account, and leave, you know, the money in your corporate account. I've been so disciplined in doing that I can guarantee you that even family members will say, oh, so-and-so money I have in my account, I want to keep it. I'll say, don't put it in the corporate account, put it here. Because that corporate account, there are some businesses that will come that will zeroize it. But if I put in the other accounts, I'll know, okay, this is so-and-so. So it's something you have to be very, very, very conscious and intentional about. If not, you will not know if your business is growing or not. And you must be able to evaluate yourself on a weekly basis, not monthly. On a weekly basis, you should know if I've gained or if I've lost so that you double your hustle. If you have not made money, if I stay 1 week now and I say, how much has come in? That's not the target. You will have to start hearing God. You tune in. Let me give you another joker. I have a war room. I'm sure everybody has seen that movie, War Room. That movie, it is not a joke. Oh, guys, you have to have your war room. My own war room is my bedroom. How did it become my war room? Unintentionally, I just put gospel music, my what's this thing called, Bluetooth speaker. I just blast gospel music. Kirk Franklin and all the likes, I blast it. Well, and I stay there for a long time. I didn't even know it had become my war room. But I discovered that the volume of God's voice is higher when I'm there. I will have issues. I say, why is this business not coming? Why am I losing business from this company? And God will say, get up now. Go and send email. Ask this person, how are you? How are you doing? How is your child doing? I would like to see you in the office at social time. By the time you go there, they'll say, there's even one transaction we want to do. Will you be able to handle it? The volume is high. It's high there. You have to hear God. So on a weekly basis, evaluate yourself. It's not even a thing of, I'm eating into. You have to be conscious about what you are doing. Separate your personal life from your... If you've said, my salary for the month is 200, why are you buying Ashwebi? If you don't have Ashwebi, 250, money for 250 Ashwebi, you don't go and put hand inside your company account. That's the simple truth. If not, that business will not grow. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much for that brilliant answer. Chibweze, I want integrity in my business, but everywhere I go, I have to give bribes or kickbacks in order to get business. How do I do business in this environment? I don't know if you encounter such things.
No, I've not.
Okay, so does that have any... Are you, okay. He says, I want integrity in my business. But everywhere I go, I have to give bribes or kickbacks in order to get businesses. How do I do business in this environment? I don't know if any one of you has...
I face that.
Okay.
I face that sort of challenge on like a daily basis, but you don't have to give bribe. Like he said, relationship is key. You don't have to give bribe to anybody. Now, do you appreciate people? Yes. There's a difference between appreciating people. For instance, if someone in the company has been instrumental to me getting, you know, a business, I may not come back and say, oh, put your own on top or something funny like that. Even if you tell me to put something on top for you, I'll say, oh, God, no, we can't do that. But you know what? This is my profit on this transaction, and I'm willing to share 50-50 with you. Is that bribe? It's my profit. So I'm willing to appreciate you. Christmas gift, I don't joke with it. If you're a Muslim, I don't do Ramadan, this thing. You send fruit baskets and appreciate people. In fact, something as little as there was a company, one of these the big multinationals in Nigeria. The person instrumental to us getting the key business, a junior staff there said, "Ah, Madam's son broke her phone, no, her iPhone 15 Pro Max." I said, "Hey, yeah? Me himself, I know they use iPhone. Why are you telling me this?" He said, "Buy phone for Madam Jerry." I said, "Which phone am I using?" Said that. I closed that. I bought it. I said, "Madam, they said your son broke your phone. Take." Is it bribe? But the guy also called me and said, "Madam, I know the phone that you use. So go and change it. You have this money, spend it." I had to go and buy a fold because someone you are giving Pro Max will look at your own phone and say, "What did you bring here?" I had to go and change my phone by force. So I took the phone there, and I can tell you such a thing. From even if they close eye and sign anything, knowing that you have integrity to go with, you know, the other bits, professionalism and all that you must have shown. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Okay, so Chibweze, I'll pass the mic on to you now. What should I do about a partner who's not invested in the business, who's not invested in a business goal, or actively involved in building the business? For example, they haven't contributed any capital. Well, they are your partner.
So, like the first question I would like to ask is, how is this person your partner? How did they become your partner if they did not bring any financial contribution? Are they not actively working in the business? So, is this person family? Is this person friend? And, you know, you just, you know, looked at the person's face and feel, oh, let me just help him. You know, that's quite destructive to, you know, building business. So if this person is not contributing anything, the earlier you let the person go, now I don't know if the person is on a salary, that's a different question altogether. The earlier you let the person go, the better for your business.
Okay.
Someone that is a partner, that doesn't have any input financially or even in terms of work, is not really a partner. So what you do is to separate the accounts. You separate your own clients from his own clients. So make it clear to the person that this is our business, so we are selling things. This is what I'm selling. Oh God, there's no input from you on this side. Is there something else you have interest in? So my own accounts, I'm running like a Zenith account for maybe Chukwudi and Sons. Chukwudi and Sons, let's open FCMB. This is your own, Oh God. So what is the plan? Separate it. Same company, but you know, there has to be some input. There's no free food in Freetown, so it has to be an input. It doesn't have to be financially. Sometimes it could be who he knows. So the relationship is also key. You don't know the value this person may have, so you don't sever the relationship altogether. Something must have made you start off as partners. So try and tweak it, but separate the accounts and let him know that if you're not bringing in here, you have to, you know, create your own, like, let's diversify the company, and then you bring in your own input. That's it.
Thank you very, very much. I think, Chinedu, you also want to lend your voice there.
Yeah, okay, so I'm just going to briefly add something. When you're going into business, and you're going into business with a partner, one of the most important things that you must do is state your terms and make sure there's legal backing. Because if you do not have proper terms stated, backed up legally, whether the person is working or not, a partner is a partner. That person has claims and you will pay. And if it's a business that you are fully invested in, you'll just be working. It's just be a clear case of monkey they walk, baboon they chop. And there is nothing you're going to do about it because that person has legal documents that state that I have rights to this and this. So if you're going to get a partner or you're going into partnership with anybody, make sure that you know this is what you are bringing, this is what I am bringing, this is what you are entitled to, this is what I am entitled to. Make sure it is written in black and white by lawyers. If not, in business, legal battles, you know, you can be messy.
So, thank you. So make it legal. Make it legal. Okay, so I'm going to throw the floor open now. So if I have any questions in the audience, can you please, by a show of hand, let us know so we can pass the microphone on to you. Is there a question from the audience? Okay, there's a hand up there. Okay.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
I'm Samuel Rangu.
Okay.
So my question is it compulsory to actually have a standard business plan before you start a business? No matter the kind of business you want to do, because these days it looks like some business plans are big in the end. And then number two, is it advisable to start a business with a loan?
Okay. Two questions. Is it advisable to start a business with a loan? Yeah. Do you have to have a standard business plan? Okay, so I'm going to pass that question to Chibweze. And
okay. To start a business, and then you are looking to start with a standard business plan, I don't think it speaks so much into what you need to start a business. So you need to first, because when they say business plan now, it's something when you go to CAC, a lot of people drop by the side and then you don't really get to read it, and then you start the business and you just, maybe it's buying and selling, you just start up anything. Now, starting a business requires more than that. For me, when I started, I gave out a lot of free products because I wanted to test if this is something that I can do and I can make money from. I had to find the problem and I had to create a solution to that problem. So it's not all about creating a plan. It's all about what is that plan going to solve? What solution is it bringing to life? What problem is it speaking to? If you've not been able to address that, then I don't think you're starting off on a good footing. And then on the second part, if I'm coming from your first question to go into the second one, then that is a no-no. You can't start a business from the first question you asked and then, looking to start it off on a loan. It's good to always, look around what is the market saying regarding loan and all of that. But in Nigeria, I know loan is quite expensive for business people. It's very expensive. So it's not something I would advise you to do. Instead, I'd rather you look at the problem and then start as little as you can and start to address that problem. Once you are speaking to a problem, you are speaking to a problem by creating a solution for that problem. You wouldn't need a loan. It will naturally progress. And you see, and that has been my own case.
Thank you very much, Chibweze. Okay. John, I'll ask you this question. Is it ever too late to start a business? Or when is too late to start a business?
It's never too late to start a business. We've seen people that started business in their 60s, 70s, and they are successful at it. So like you said, there has to be a problem that you are addressing. So the issue of the business plan, your business plan is, there's a problem currently in the country. What's that problem? For instance, let's look at our environment, the Amuwod of Infestac. Do we have good schools? No, not really. Do we have good hospitals? Not really. Do we have joints, bars? Yes. So if you want to go into the, what's it called, hospitality and then bar, just get ready for competition. Just know that you will struggle because there are guys that have been in that business for a long time. But for the schools, yes, we have schools. What are the things that are lacking in these schools? What are the things that are lacking in the hospitals? Those are the problems that you address. So when people come and say, oh, Nigeria is bad, I'll give you an example. We give loans to people and they use those loans to travel abroad. We don't encourage it, but sometimes, you know, people will come and the way we do our own loan, our license does not permit us to really question people on what they want to use their funds for because it's personal loans. So they can say for car and then they leave it in their accounts and all such things. And then they come back and say, madam, you are giving loans and giving loans. Don't you want to leave this country? It's obvious you have resources to make you leave this country. Don't you want to leave? What are you living for? What are you going there to go and do? There are enough problems in Nigeria. Forget what the current government is doing that makes things look so gloomy and bad. There are still problems that need solutions. So, yes, you need that business plan. Sit down and plan it. And it's never too late. As long as you have your health, you have your brain, you have legs, you can manage your business well, it's never too late. And forget the fact that you may have failed at 1,000,001 businesses. If you fall, you stand up again. Guess what? You'll be wiser than that person that has never fallen. That's how I see it.
Thank you very much, Joanne. Okay. So I'll open the floor once again. If there's any questions from anywhere with a show of hand, can you please let us know? Okay, there's a hand right at the extreme there. The man on the traditional cap. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Ayofe Olua, and I am into the printing and branding business. So I have a question, and the question is, how do you help yourself, or how do you salvage the situation where... So I do a lot of corporate jobs, companies that give me work, but it is easier for them to give me jobs that are no more than, say, 500,000. But when we're talking about millions... They find it very difficult to know. We find it very difficult to agree. So I want to know, how do I salvage such situation? Because most times, for jobs that are less than, say, 500, say, below 1 million naira, I can use my funds to do it. But when it gets to, it starts dragging until we end up not finalizing. So how do I salvage such situations?
Did you get the question?
Yeah.
Because I didn't get your question, it wasn't quite audible, but I think Chinedu got your question.
So if I get your question correctly, you said you're into printing and branding, and usually with the companies that you work for, corporate organizations, they're comfortable with giving you jobs below 1 million. But if it is above 1 million, they dilly-dally and end up giving the job to someone else, right? Okay, so this question is going to take, I'm going to go through a route. So I'm a fashion designer. And I spoke to someone about this same scenario yesterday, but I'm sure that what I'm going to tell you should be able to answer your question. When I started making clothes, I used to charge 4,500 in 2015. But today, some of our dresses are 2 million and above. Yeah? And I see people that are just starting up their businesses, wanting to charge, and I still have designer friends that charge more than I do for the garments that they produce. Now, I see someone that just started out in fashion that wants to compete with brands that have been there for years. It's not possible. If it's possible, the chances are very slim, and I'm going to tell you why. Before people, as a fashion designer, so I'm using my business as a case study, but it should answer your question. As a fashion designer, before you get to the point where you would open your mouth and say, the dress is 600,000 naira, and someone will give you that money, things would have happened. Trust. You will need to build trust. Branding, personal branding. You will need personal branding. Your customer avatar comes into play. Spirituality comes into play. And you see, in all of these things that I'm mentioning, everything takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. I didn't just start charging the amount I'm charging now in 2015. People will come to you and they will be comfortable to pay the price point that you are calling because they trust you enough to deliver. Because they look at you and say, oh, don't worry. If I give her 5 million, she will not run away. Look at her office now. But when someone comes and you're in one cubicle and they ask you how much, and you open your mouth and say, it's 700,000. Even the person you are telling 700,000 will laugh at you and say, you're never ready. And the truth about it is, you may even know how to do that job better than the person charging 5 million. But have you been able to build up trust, capacity, personal branding? There are a lot of things that will come into play for someone to trust you enough to release money, commit that money to you. Yeah. So what I'm going to advise you to do as a business person is go and build your capacity. I tell people say packaging. Packaging is important. Yeah. It is very important. There are meetings I'm going for that I will enter Uber. There are meetings I'm going for that I will drive my car. There are meetings I'm going for that I will employ driver. I have drivers that I will just call that, hey guy, what's up? Are you free? I beg, I go somewhere, come drive me. I have I'm a bit claustrophobic and I'm car sick. So I naturally cannot sit down at the back of a car. I always sit in front, even with a driver. But guess what? Once I'm approaching the office, I will park. I say, wait, I go sit down for back. I will go and sit. You will enter well. Now, it's not because you are trying to lie. You are trying to create an impression. In my business, I sell experiences. I'm not just selling clothes. I have never done sponsored ad on Instagram in my life. I have never done adverts. Even the Instagram self, if you know my Instagram page, I hardly post. I'm trying right now to be more consistent and post on my Instagram page. But guess what? I have created foot soldiers. My customers are high-profile people, high-profile network people. And if my customers market me for you, you think I'm paying them. Yeah. I'm not paying them. But I have been able to create an experience with my brand. You will see my customer, hey, hello, auntie. Oh, how are you? Oh, Chine, do I need this? Oh, don't worry, I got it. Oh, Chine, do you want? Oh, don't worry, pay for this. Don't worry, leave this one. I'm smart enough. I'll make it for you for free. You think I'm not stupid? You see that thing I'm making for you for free? For another person, I'll collect money. But because I know what I'm trying to position and what I'm trying to target, I'll say, oh, auntie, don't worry. Just pay for this one. Everybody's my auntie in my business also. Don't worry. Everybody's auntie. I said, don't worry. Do you know what? Pay for this. This is on the house. We'll give it to you for free. Everything is an experience you're trying to create. So I would advise you, work on your person, and try as much as you can to build capacity. Let these people look at you and say, no, don't worry. He will not run away with the money. Build trust, and you'll see that they will naturally give you the money to do the job.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you very, very much. That was well answered. Okay, so Joanne, I'm going to move on to you. What was your motivation? What motivated you to go into the business that you are right now?
Okay, so you guys know me. I'm going to be real. I didn't just sit down and have a vision or God spoke to me and say, Joanne, this is what you are going to do. No. I was in banking. I was enjoying banking. But I just started feeling troubled in my spirit. I just started feeling fed up. You know, at some stage in your life, you know, this is not where I'm supposed to be. So I had that restlessness. I was initially with GT. Then I left GT and went to FCMB. FCMB doesn't promote. GT, if you work hard, your promotion is like this. So I grew very fast in GT. FCMB, they will praise you. They will give you an award. And I started feeling unsatisfied, you know. So at some point, I thought, okay, maybe it's time to go to another bank. I wrote interview, go to MD stage, as in HR, go and collect offer letter. See your office safe for some. And you know this, our God can be very dramatic. He has a good sense of humor. You show me office and then they say, oh, there's an embargo on recruitment. Please just wait. We want you, but just wait. So it wasn't a case of you are not good enough to change that job. Because you see this God, when he's trying to teach you a lesson, doesn't also want you to lose yourself. So it wasn't a case of you are not good enough to move to another bank. It was a case of you are not moving to another bank. So an issue came up with FCM. They said, oh, one thing happened. And I said, this issue you guys brought up doesn't really concern me. And all my bosses, they were more concerned about the issue than myself. So they were running helter-skelter. We are going to MD's office. We are going to beg. Do you want to come along? I said, did he call me? He said, what do you mean? Did he call you? You need to go. I'm not begging anybody for a job, or a job that I'm tired of. But I knew. I kept asking God, what do you need me to do? It's obvious you need me to do something else. What is it? I need to hear you. So that period, I had a health scare. And I told them I was going on leave. They said, no. For you to even be this arrogant, we'll change it to suspension. So after 1 month on suspension, I said, how far? Is the suspension continuing or what are we doing? Nobody answered me. So I said, okay, since nobody's answering, take resignation. And that period, I went into serious prayer. Before then, I'd been writing different things that I had interest in jotters. I'd been writing, oh, there's this problem. This could be the solution. I'd been writing it, and God kept told me, get all these things and start looking at them. People that I've met, you see this God. That thing that you need to do is something you're already doing. It's something you love to do. It's something you would do if nobody was paying you anything. Amalazone in America, is it not just Amala? Does she know how to make a continental? The America where she is, she's not making all this medemedia, it's Amala. And see how popular and rich she is. Some people get rich just selling smoothie. Some people get rich just selling pancake. So just think about something that you're already doing that nobody is paying you for. Some people will say, oh, I've been on this job for how many years? I hate the job. I've been on the job for 20 years and now I can't even think of what I need to do. So someone told me that, and I said, if you've done this job for 20 years, maybe you don't like your organization, but you like the job. Because you did it for 20 years. And guess what? She came out of our organization, and that is what she's doing on her own. The beginning will be rough. The beginning will be rough. But because it's something you love to do, you will do it anyway. And then you wait for God's blessing. Loving that thing will make you patient for his grace. But when that grace comes, even you will be wondering, how is this happening? So basically, my point is that if you love to do something, be faithful at it. Luke 16:10 says that to whom much is given, to whom little is given, it's expected that when you are blessed with much, you will do so much at it. So when you are faithful with the little that you are blessed with, just be faithful with it and God will bless you with so much more. That's the God we serve.
Okay, thank you very much. So, Chibueze, I do business, but I'm very vulnerable with allowing credits from friends and family members, which affects me most times. Friends and family, and you are very plenty here. Does this mean I'm not fit to do business?
So she doesn't allow credit from friends and
family? No, he allows credits. Because he's very vulnerable. He's very, once you do your face, once you turn your neck, he feels sorry for you. And then as a family and as a friend, you can use that, you know, and gain credit from him.
So I'm going to start by, you know, maybe painting a picture of where do you want that business to go to? Do you want that business to be and die with you? Or do you have a vision for that business, that this business is going to grow into this multinational, is going to grow into this large? So if you have a weakness with attending to friends and family, and then you have to give them credit, how can I bring somebody in to take out that part? How can I put a structure to that place to eliminate the chances of doing that? So it's a question of where do you see the business going to? If you're not able to answer that question truthfully within yourself, that I want this business to grow from this point to this point, then you will be plagued with those weaknesses and you won't know how to come out of them. It will be difficult for you to come out of there. But if you have a vision that this is where I want this business to go to, I'm working hard, I'm working in this business right now, I don't want it to be a one-man business where it dies with me. I have the dream of employing people. I have the dream of growing this business to be a large enterprise. Then that vision alone would rescue you from this problem.
Okay. Did you want to say something, Joanne?
No, I'm saying we should even be diligent with ourselves. Even we, ourselves. Things that you know I can't afford now. You don't do it. Not to talk of friends and family. What you do with friends and family? You give them friends and family price. You give them friends and family price, but you don't lose because you want to please friends and family. No, that's not the way any friend and family even supports your business.
Okay. So, all right.
Yeah, let me just quickly say something. So for giving credit, I don't know who asked the question. In all honesty, there are some people that you must give credit. So in my business, I call them A-list. And they are not A-list for no reason. You see the sets of people. There are people that when they want to pay you the money, they don't pay you the money that's in the invoice. They will just pay you the money. Like, oh, give the rest to your kids. You understand? Those set of people are your A-list clients. They are on a different pedestal. They are the ones that you drive to their house to go and carry the fabric. You know, then go back to your office. Yeah, but if you are a business person, depending on the kind of business that you run, one, you should have a memorandum of understanding. Two, send an invoice to your clients. As you are discussing the business, just send the invoice. Let the invoice follow the discussion. The person already knows how much. The person knows, send the invoice, send account number. The person knows that you are expecting money. At that point, if the person now says, you say, no, I can't give discount to. I have a rule in my store. No dress leaves my office without money, no matter who you are. If you're not in my A-list clientele, and my staff, they know those set of people, they won't even call me. Most times, we even take the dresses to them, and we'll still greet and say, okay, auntie, I'm going. They never pay. We'll greet and we'll go. But any other person, you will pay. You will pay. Nothing leaves you. Even if your wedding is tomorrow, we'll be looking at the dress like that. Till you pay, not that dress will not leave the store. So you should be disciplined enough to put that in place. Because this is what happens. Once you do that with one person, that person will tell the next person. And that person will tell the next person. That will now tell the person that, wait, don't worry, now just beg her. She will release it. Anybody that knows me knows you cannot beg me. You can't. So have those things in place. By the time you have those things in place, those same people are the ones who say, she won't release it though. You better pay your money. That's how business works. It's word of mouth. It is the people that you serve that will help you spread your price and your customer service to other people. So the way you have put it is how it will continue to run. So put the right things in place.
Thank you very much. I testify. I've known Chinedu for a very, very long time, even before DCC. And one day I told her, I went to my former place of work, Chinedu, I want this dress. And Chinedu carried tape through. She taped me. She said, this dress, whether 15,000, then how many years ago? I shout, I said, me teacher. Chinedu look at me and say, And he go fit you well. She was still marketing me. I said, Chinedu, but you see me at the work. Now Chinedu said, sis, that dress go fit you well, waiting me 15K to you. That's how Chinedu laugh. I never came back with a discount on top 15K. So I testify. Okay, so I'll ask you this. I'll throw this to all of you, starting from Joanne. Have you ever seen your business falling or failing? And with all the effort you've put in, it seems as though nothing's happening. It's a really bad downtime. Have you experienced that in business? And how have you handled that?
Yes, you see that from time to time in your business. Especially like my business now that is, it has been affected by government policies and, you know, several environmental risks. So what you do, it also comes back to your interpersonal relationship with your clients. When you are relating with your clients, you must have empathy. Because guess what? At the time when you are telling your customer, I can't do this for you, this is what we'll do. I'll give you an example. For me now, there are people that have asked me for loan. And I say, oh, we can't do this loan the way you want it. You say, no, please. And they beg for weeks. And at some point, I'll say, they ask for a meeting. So-and-so GM of a bank will be there. Okay, I will attend the meeting. Guess what I'm going there to go and say? No. But because I will also go there to go and hear them out, to go and hear their pains. Because guess what? One day, policies may just change that will allow you to do that thing they're asking you to do. So when it seems as if your business is falling, you also retweak what you are doing to say, oh, let me diversify and do it this way. How do you have that sense to diversify from the problems they've told you they have? So you can't do business the way, like this kit that they did, the customers that you price, the one that keeps quiet, the one that abuses you. A lot of Nigerians have that mentality. If you price them too much, they abuse you. You price them too much, they keep quiet and just feel when you are ready, you go. You will not succeed in your business that way. You must be involved. You must act as if that your customer's problem is your own problem. And when you listen to them, that is the only way you will have sense and say, ah, I can do this thing this way. So even when it seems as if others are failing, they will call you and say, how are you doing this thing? How did you know how to switch? How did you know how to switch and be doing it this way? I don't know if you guys understand what I mean. So it's basic things like that. That's why when the basic laws that God gave us, love your neighbor as yourself. It's not for him. It's for yourself. These things still come back to you. So even when it feels as if things are changing, just think of a way of changing. Things will change. The problems are always there. And in that business that you are doing, it's like my hairdresser was saying the other time that she's looking for a cleaner job, that nobody is buying expression anymore. I said, nobody is buying expression because it's expensive, but they are weaving their hair. So tell them that you are now a kid's salon and be weaving people's hair. Instead of looking for babes that want to do long attachment, you are now a kid's salon and start weaving hair. And then you make sure that you are doing kids' hair doesn't take so much time. So you do more customers and charge and you'll be earning almost same thing. So it's all about being involved in that business. Not as if, I'm Lord and Master in the business. As if you are serving people. You do the business as if you are serving people. It's a service to people. So if you do your business that way, I don't think your business will ever fail. There will be downtimes, yes, but you will always find a way to maneuver. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do you want to say something?
So seeing your business failing, I think every business person at some point goes through that phase where they are worried about, especially if you have employees. I go through that phase every now and then. Like throughout this year, I've been adding more staff. We've grown from a staff strength of 20-something to I think we're almost 40 now. And I'm just thinking about how am I going to pay these people? I just have that fear all the time. But, you know, as a business person, one of the things that keeps me going is I know I have God and the Holy Spirit is with me. I've gone through this phase where I have to add more staff and I'm worried about how am I going to pay them. And I've gone through those stages like 2 or 3 times in the cycle of doing this business. And one thing I also do is I expose myself to a lot of learning. As a business person, you know, it's very easy to get lost in the buying and the selling or in the marketing what you are doing as a business. You know, like it's very easy to get lost in that whole circle. You don't come out to expose yourself to learning. You know, what is the government saying? I've been listening to her all the while we're here, and she's been talking a lot about policies. So she's mentioning a lot of policies. So she's aware of what the government is doing that may affect or be a threat to her business. So as a business person, you want to know. So why is dollar coming down? Yeah, dollar is coming down. Why is it coming down? What is pushing it to come down? Is it a sustainable thing? Can I make a business decision, a long-term business decision on this? So these are questions you want to ask yourself. And the more you keep exposing yourself to learnings, exposing yourself to information, you would see things that are relevant to your business that you can take in, and then it is going to basically help your business. This is how I've grown over the years. I've grown over the years by doing this, being in, like in constant touch with teachers that would, you know, give you, okay, maybe a policy comes out and then they break it down and say, okay, this is how this might affect your business. So prepare for this, prepare for that, prepare for this. So all the while, price was fluctuating for a period of time. I never touched my price since 2021. It's from learning and implementing some of the things that that are listed in the policy. They said, we don't like to read in this part of the world. So that's why a lot of things pass us by. So as a business person, I want to advise that to stop your business from failing or to mitigate the chances of your business failing is that you need to invest in learning. You need to expose yourself to information that are relevant to your industry.
Thank you very much, Ibozi. Yeah, Chinedu.
Praise God. So I'm going to answer this question from two areas. Before I talk about prayer, I'm going to say something. If you get to a point where you find out that your business is failing, at that point, you need to sit back and observe. Most of the time, people in business do not understand that business evolves. So most times, you find out that you have just been there doing the same old thing, whereas every other person around you has moved. And when people see that, this girl is still, okay, I'll give an example. Imagine now, almost every woman wears human hair. Nobody is buying Expression anymore. And you just imagine yourself, every day you carry truck to trade fair to go and pack Expression to come and say, who would buy it? So you need to understand as a business person the trends in your business. Aside from that, you also need to have key people in your business, mentors, friends in your business that you can talk to. Nobody is an epitome of knowledge. You cannot know everything. So you need to speak with people. I have people that I have trained. I trained them. That I still go back to them and say, hey, where you learn this one? Alpha. And I speak to them and they say, no, mama is like this. They say, oh, are you serious? You should be able to abound and abase. Do you understand? As a business person. So follow trends. Then secondly, I'm going to answer this question. And I think this answer is even more important for me because I'm answering this question from a personal point of view. Last year, July, August, I have never experienced a low as a business person, in all honesty, and I've been grateful to God. I thank God. It will be 9 years this year. We've never experienced a low. But last year, I experienced a low, July and August, and it was a bad low. Like, we can be fully booked for 2-3 months. In July, people that had booked and paid called back their jobs and called back the money that they had paid. Imagine spending those monies and I had to be refunding money in millions. Initially, I thought it was play. I first of all, I engaged cry. you understand? But in everything, I noticed something. Every friend of mine in business that period would call me and say, babe Alpha, I'm not, see this one. Then there was a particular call I received, and she said she's an interior decorator. And she said to me, she said, babe, I'm on no sales, and I'm just a alpha. As I opened my mouth to say, I want to say me too. I literally felt the Holy Spirit, like, shut my mouth. And I kept quiet, and I said, my response was now, God is faithful. We thank God. At that point, I'd refunded money in millions, and I didn't even have jobs to do. One day, I was going to work, and my husband said to me, but you said you don't have work. What are you going there to do? And I said to him, if I stay at home, I am in agreement with the devil that there is no work. I will show up at my office every day. And I got dressed, and I went to work. My husband said, okay. Now, this thing lingered on from July all the way to August. Note that I'm paying staff salary. And every day I go to work, I'll just say, oh, do you know what? Oh, you people, make this thing for me. Oh, make that for me. But in everything, I prayed. I prayed like when I mean I prayed. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places. As a business person, if you think the devil is happy that you are making money, you are a joker. And that is because the devil understands that you would use money to do kingdom. He doesn't want money in your hand. The devil doesn't want you as a child of God to be happy. So as a business person, if you are not a praying person, you go suffer away. Like you would your Bible will say, Wajaya, Ojoy Abo, your eyes will open. Yeah. I prayed to a point that one day in August, I prayed and I slept off. And when I finished praying, I said, Holy Spirit, I need you to make me know that you hear me. And I slept and I put a sermon. As that sermon was playing at exactly 2:56. I heard a word that was my word. It was exactly, I was in my sleep. My eyes just opened and the preacher said exactly what I wanted to hear. And I screamed. My husband ran into the room thinking something had happened to me. And I was just rolling on the floor. Jesus, I thank you. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for breakthrough. Do you know, that week, the next day, immediately I went to work the next day, I started receiving calls. Hey, Chinedu, I'm sending my driver to you. Can you send me that invoice again so that I can send the money back? And people started calling. Those same people that took their jobs back started calling me and sent me. And I was, that week I was amazed. And I was sharing the experience with my husband. And during my prayer time, I heard something. That you see what it took you 2 months to uproot. If you had not prayed, it would have taken you 7 years. And I told my husband my experience. Like, my husband is my go-to. Like, I was sharing the, I even shared the experience with, I think I shared it with Mama. So, as a business person, if you're experiencing a fall, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 32 verse 8, I think, I would instruct you on the way you should go. I would teach you. I will give you wise counsel. My eyes are on you. So, God is constantly looking at you. Are you, as a business person, constantly looking at God? You should constantly be in a place of prayer. So, if you're experiencing a low in your business, go back, redo your strategy, then, my dear, be on your knees every single day. God wants you to prosper. It's in His will, and you'll prosper.
Ladies and gentlemen, has it been a good night? Has it been a good midweek service tonight? So, God, you're grateful. Yes. With a standing ovation, let us thank our panelists. Thank you very much, Chinedu. Thank you very much, Joanne. Thank you very, very much, Chibweze. You have been highly inspired by this. Thank you very, very much. Okay, so whose business is moving to the next level? Thank God for insight. We give God praise. We give God praise as we take the announcement.
Are you doing happy tonight?
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise,